Welcome to episode 62 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I'm Perry Nemroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Pachko and Angie Han.
Hello!
So this week, our hot topic is the new Star Wars The Force Awakens trailer. Then we're going to roll into our big review of Unfriended, and we're going to finish up with our game section. So, starting off, Star Wars trailer. Angie, you've got that one.
I don't really know what I need to say to introduce it. There was a Star Wars The Force Awakens trailer that hit this week. If you're a person that is alive in this world, you probably knew that and have probably seen it at least, like, 5 times. I thought this trailer was a lot better than the last one. The last one kind of left me cold, but I think that that one also had kind of the weight of all these, like, expectations because it had been, like, literally years since we'd seen any new footage from a Star Wars movie. So I think maybe with that taken off of it a bit, and especially because this one wove in a few more references to the old movies that even non-nerds would have caught, like the Darth Vader helmet and, like, you know, the Stormtroopers and all that. So I thought this one was fantastic. Like, I've seen it several times. It was a franchise that I was starting to feel like, I mean, I'll see it, but I'm not excited. And then I saw this trailer and I was like, yes.
The first trailer made me super hyped about it. I loved that first trailer and I thought it was a brilliant teaser. Because, like, every single time where we get teaser trailers, it's never really a teaser. It reveals way too much. But that was a true teaser. And so is this. But it's also taking a step towards being a full trailer, which I greatly appreciated. And I like to finally see, you know, some of these characters and their outfits and the new vehicles and freaking BB-8. I want it.
I want.
I'm obsessed already.
BB-8's a little ball droid.
Yeah. And
if
he's amazing.
If I have one complaint about this trailer, it's that it doesn't have enough BB-8 in it, because the last one had a lot more.
It did have a lot more, but this one, like, that one shot was so effective, and I just want to, like, I want to pluck you out and take you home with me. I'm going to have every BB-8 toy, you know it.
I'm, like, jealous that everybody else is so excited about this trailer. I think I'm just getting tired of teasers. I'm just... Fucking show me something. I don't know. They're like, oh, here's the... It just feels like, you know, they're playing the favorites. It doesn't feel like I'm seeing anything that new. And, like, I'm excited to see Oscar Isaac. I'm excited to see Daisy Ridley and John Boyega get so much attention in this trailer because it makes it seem like maybe they are actually the heroes of this movie, which would
they
be
are.
Really
they
cool.
Actually- during the Force Awakens panel, they were talking at Star Wars Celebration. They were talking about how those are the three leads, are the ones we've seen so far: Oscar Isaac, Daisy Ridley, and John Boyega. And not for nothing, I love that because that means that the three leads of this movie are a black man, a Latino man, and a woman. And I mean, that's huge. Like you could
add to
this
that
movie with like another generic white guy.
Too super sexy. I mean, I guess Daisy Ridley's sexy for some people, but guys, Oscar Isaac and John Boyega, yes, please. Like, but
they're
no, that's exciting.
Attractive people.
I'm actually now I'm more excited about the trailer because I was like, I want to know where is Donald Gleason. I have a theory that Gwendolyn Christie and Lupita Nyong'o aren't going to be in this movie very much. I feel like they're going to set them up for whatever the next movie is going to be. So I'm not expecting to see them into trailers until like we're, you know, within like a month away. So that doesn't surprise me, but Donald Gleason I'm confused by, and like no Adam Driver, like where are these guys? Unless this is the second time we've seen the shrouded figure with the controversial lightsaber. So I'm wondering, like, I'm doing what everyone else is doing and being like, who is that? And
well,
like,
I
you
think
know.
That's the point of doing this whole tease with no story thing. And especially, I think it's well suited to this kind of franchise in this world. It's like, if they would have just thrown all these new people and these new things and all the story at me at once, I kind
of
would have been like, yeah, what? Slow
I just
down
want
a little.
Hint of Here, story.
I do greatly appreciate the time to like sit and think and look at them and see what they're about and try to figure out who fits where. I mean, here it just feels appropriate. Whereas certain other ones where you know what's coming, it's like, really, are we doing this?
I mean, it's for one thing, this movie isn't coming out for a long time still, so we're presumably going to get a lot more information between now and then. But yeah. I also feel like, honestly, at this point, part of the fun is not knowing and kind of like waiting to see and trying to figure it out and like come up with crazy theories about that weird lightsaber. Like that's from
also
the because
there's so
it,
many
like
interesting
kind of
details.
You know,
there's...
okay, here's a teaser that worked really well for me, and it's for super small movies. I don't know how helpful this is, but when Kings of Summer was like coming out, They released a teaser.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was just the three kids in the pipe, and it's just this Lauren pipe, and they're just like, and it was just strange and interesting, and it like stuck in my head, and I was like, I want to see that. And like the teaser for Ex Machina was just a little bit of imagery, and I was like, I want to see that. Like this just, like I said, it just feels like they're hitting the standard things of like, yeah, Stormtrooper, Darth Vader, lightsaber. And I get where that's playing to the base, but I want to see something, I don't know, I haven't seen anything yet that I'm just like, yes!
Well, it also sounds like it's not a franchise that you personally are super invested in, and I wonder if that's the difference, because a lot of the people who seem the most excited about it are people who, from the moment this was announced, were very excited. And I think the movie's kind of playing more to those people than to people like you, or even like me, who are just kind of like, I like the franchise, I'm not obsessed with it.
Well, sure. I'm like that, but I think these teaser trailers are playing especially well for me. Like, when it was first announced, I was kind of like, all right, cool, I can see more of this. And now every single time I see a new image or a new clip or little piece of footage, whatever, I'm like, yeah. And now I'm really psyched to see more.
All right.
I'm sure we will. So we should move on to our next
big topic. I would hope so. All right. So
this is it. They're just going to open the movie. We're not going to get anything else promotionally.
Yeah, right. Big review of the week, Unfriended. Here is the official synopsis. A group of online chat room friends, find themselves haunted by a mysterious supernatural force using the account of their dead friend. Yeah, that sucks. Sorry, IMDb or whatever that came from.
Guys, I'm really sorry. That was written by my grandmother.
Awful. They're not online chat room friends. They're friends in real life who go to high school together, and they start up a Skype call together, and while they're on their Skype call, they notice that there's an unknown Skype user in there.
Little avatar.
Who eventually reveals herself to be Laura Barnes, a girl from their high school who committed suicide a year ago due to bullying.
Which is the first thing you see. Like, literally the first thing this movie is a girl killing herself on Live Leak.
But point being, that synopsis was inaccurate. I win. stop making faces at me. All right, so I love this movie. I was really excited about it the first time I heard about it, because we've seen a pretty good amount of, computer use, and I guess the first movie that came into my mind when I heard about Unfriended was Open Windows. I don't know if you guys saw it with Elijah Wood and Sasha Gray. And the entire movie takes place on one computer screen, and like windows pop up and you see all this different stuff. Didn't work at all. So I'm thinking, how the hell are they going to make this work? But it's fantastic. It actually, like, the way they move a mouse around the screen and navigate from window to window truly mimics what I do with my computer on a regular basis.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't realize going into it that was going to be the premise of the movie. I actually didn't pay attention to this movie very much until, like, Perry a couple weeks ago was like, so we're doing Unfriended. We're reviewing that. That's what's happening. And Angie and I were like, all right, yeah, okay. And, like, so I didn't realize until we went into it. I had seen a couple of trailers and I was like, this looks terrible. I was just like, all right, here we go. But like, actually, it's just like you said, where the girl Blair, who we sit in the position of her, we're looking at her screen, the way she interacts with her computer feels really natural and feels true. Like, she knows how her computer works. She's not like a hacker where she's like blah, 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 and like, and because of the mouse, you can literally follow what she's doing and where she's going. And an element I liked a lot is that when she's typing messages to people, she'll start to type something and then she'll pause and she'll like hover on reply and then she'll erase
it
and she'll fix
it. But it's not like cheesy rom-com version of that.
No, it works in a really good part way where
you see her processing the information. It stops at a point where she would need to think about it too.
Yeah.
It like stops at a point where you would judge your words.
Yeah, we get to see her thought process. Like, it's actually out on screen. I thought that was really helpful and interesting.
The actual premise of the movie, like, oh, there's a bunch of friends who are being stalked by a possibly supernatural force that knows what they did. Like, that's very, very basic. So this movie really hangs on the gimmick. But the gimmick is so well executed. Like you said, it's really realistic. And that seems like it shouldn't be, like, that impressive. But most of the time when we watch movies, even if you see someone use a computer screen for just like 2 seconds, you immediately look at it and it's like, that's not what that is. It's like hacker movies
where they type like this. You're like, no one types like that.
Like, they'll like open up something and you're like, oh, is that supposed to be fake Google? Okay. I mean, that doesn't look like a thing anyone would use, but fine.
The end of Jurassic
or like someone
Park
goes to
when
Bing
she
and
opens
like,
up the system that controls the entire park and it's some like absolutely bizarre interface that exists nowhere.
Yeah.
But it's really natural. And not only that, but the way like it's so specific, like, what kind of programs she has and how she uses them and, like, what sites she looks at and what music she listens to and how her mouse moves around and, like, you know, when she decides to look up things and where she looks them. It's so specific that it actually adds a lot to the character.
They also the pick she's things using that, real you, sites. That people use, too. It's, yeah, like, all it the things she's the using are what I use, and the noises that her computer make, that, like, that's what mine does. And I wrote this in my review. We had seen the movie at South By, and then when I came home, I got an alert on my computer, and you know the noise that the Macs make when it sends you an alert or a reminder? It's like that awful thump.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why anyone invented that noise, but that's what it was. And the second it did it on my computer, I jumped a little.
I actually said that I wrote a review for Spinoff, and in it I talked about how, you know, these benign things that are such an everyday part of the internet, like the blank avatar when someone doesn't provide a profile picture, or like that sound that Facebook Messenger makes, and all these little things, like, all of a sudden become sinister in the context of this movie. And it's kind of amazing, because then it's like, you know, you go home and you turn on your computer and you're like,
You want to hear a really cool thing they did for the screening at South By? So we all went and saw the movie, and then we all went back to our hotel rooms to write up the review. And while we were, I was sitting in the room with, like, another journalist who was writing his review at the same time. And as we're writing it, he goes to me, check your Facebook. And I check my Facebook, and Laura Barnes had friended me. It's like the simplest thing, like a really effortless publicity stunt, but it was so effective. And yeah. I was sitting there writing my review, and there she was.
That's the other, funny.
The other thing that I thought that this movie did a lot better than I expected is the character development. I mean, we don't get to know these characters super well or anything. It doesn't, like, delve really deeply into their brains or anything like that. It's not that kind of movie. But all the acting and all the characters and the way they interact and their personalities felt really, really naturalistic. I think that's a huge thing that this movie has going for it, because, you know, it's supposed to be a found footage thing, but it's done in such a way that, first of all, it makes sense why you're seeing all this, which is always a huge problem with found footage movies, where you're like, why are you running and also holding a laptop, like, facing outward? That makes no fucking sense.
Oh, we should also say, because this was a thing that someone else asked me about. They're like, well, if the ghost is online, why not get off your computer, dummies? They set that up. The ghost won't let you. If you hang up, you pay with your life. And they, like, they get that point across very quickly in the beginning in a very creepy way. And so that's why these teenagers can't log out of this chat, because they'll die. And it makes the, oh, it's also in real time. I don't think we said. So, like, it's like 82 minutes, but it's a really neat and tight and like fun 82 minutes.
You're basically participating in this, like, really horrifying call for 82 minutes from the perspective of one of the characters whose name is Blair. But I wanted to ask you guys something about this movie. Did you find it scary?
I found it
fun scary.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said before, I went home and that noise gave me the creeps. It's like I definitely think twice about certain things on my computer now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I was terrified, like I needed to close my eyes, though.
Yeah. There were definitely parts where I was kind of curling up, because it builds the tension to, like, you're like, oh, shit's going to go down. I don't know what's going to happen. And I was actually surprised to find out this has an R rating, because I thought the way it plays around gore and nudity that it was a PG-13 movie.
I would have thought so, too, not to mention the fact that this is clearly a movie aimed at, like, teenagers.
Are you sure?
IMDb, I swear to God. Now I'm going to double check.
I believe you. I'm just also surprised.
Yeah, because I was going to write that in my review, and then I was like, it says it's rated R. But, I mean, that's not a complaint. I was just surprised. Like, they're able to withhold a little bit on the gore, and it's still... I found it still effective. It's not like scary. I don't know. We always
radar.
It's not always Babadook scary when you go to a horror movie, but, like, I thought this was really fun. It's you know, it's like Project Almanac, but actually scary.
See, that was what I meant when I was, like, talking about how the characters in this one are so much better. Like, we've seen movies like Project Almanac that have a kind of a similar, like, oh, five, like, photogenic young people, and then at the end of Project Almanac, I was like, I still don't know who the fuck these people are or why I care.
Like, one of the best boyfriend boys on this are kind of interchangeable, but one of them's a bit more of a dick than Mitchie.
One of the best parts about this movie in terms of character development is that they don't flat out state it. It's not like, I am the pretty one, I am the hacker, I am the boyfriend.
They're all the pretty one.
But they do it really subtly, I think, through the cinematography. It's like, instantly, the second you see Ken, the heavier kid, like, you know he's better at computers because of the way his shot's framed. You know he has a more substantial desktop computer ahead in front of him, and he's got those big headphones on. It's like, instantly you look at him, you're like, I know what you're about. And if you look at Blair and Mitch, it's like, It's two different images, obviously, but they kind of work with the same color palette. So when they're on the screen together, it looks kind of like they go together.
Yeah.
It's just like all these really subtle, sometimes things that you don't think about that make it sell.
Everything that they are being punished for in the movie is stuff that, you know, happens online, which I thought was really interesting. Like, you know, it's like Laura is torturing them in the real world, but the source of their torture starts from online. And I thought it was cool. I thought it was like, it's like an update on the slasher movie from the 80s where the sin you've committed is promiscuity. And in this one, the sin you've committed is cyberbullying. And like, they do this in such a smart way that I actually feel like I mean, Angie and I were talking about this post-screening, and I think Angie can talk about it further. Yet. Huh?
Don't go into spoilers yet.
No. But I just think that the way they talk about cyberbullying in this is really interesting. Because they're talking to a girl who was pushed to kill herself because of the way she was cyberbullied. And then for that to be a vengeful spirit, it's really interesting. It makes for a text that, like, is a little after-school special in some respects, but, like, in a really fun way.
But actually, one of the things that I found really effective about it is that even though it's about that, and, like, there are points where it's on the nose and they'll just kind of say the message out loud, but compared to a lot of other movies we've seen about the dangers of the internet, like, this one is actually much more kind of down-to-earth and realistic with, like, how kids actually use the internet, how it makes them behave, like, you know, what they do to and for each other through the internet. Like,
yeah.
I think that was one thing I really liked about it, because how many movies have we seen where they're just like, the internet is evil, it's full of assholes, and it'll just haunt you forever. And like,
the
you know,
first movie that popped
happen.
Into my head was Men, Women, and Children.
Right. I mean, bad things happen to these kids on the internet, and they do things that are mean to each other, but it's done in a way where it's not like, oh, the internet, it's so bad. Like, it all comes from a place that seems very human and very relatable.
All right, do we want to jump into spoilers now?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, spoilers! So spoiler alert for Unfriended. Stop watching if you don't want to know any movie spoilers. Who wanted to get this? Weren't one of you, like, itching to talk about spoilers?
I'll talk about it.
Angie, take it.
So basically, one of the things that I thought, I didn't realize this while I was watching the movie, but after I came out, one of the things that I thought they did so well and the movie was so smart about is that you realize about two-thirds of the way that it's a movie about bullying that's told from the perspective of the bully, because the whole movie, you know, like, Blair and her friends are, like, pleading with this, like, Laura Barnes online ghost person, like, oh, you know, we're good people, like, why are you doing this to us? But gradually, as the movie goes on, you learn why, and it's because Blair is the one who took the video, her boyfriend is the one who posted it, and all the other kids just kind of piled on. And so, in the end, by the time you realize this, you've spent, like, 80 minutes watching an entire movie relating to Blair. Like, she's the person that we identify with. Like, she's the perspective that we're seeing all of this unfold from. And by that point, it's too late to distance yourself from her and how you relate to her. And the reason that's interesting is because usually there are so many movies about, like, teenagers who get picked on, but usually it's told from the perspective of the underdog. And, like, you know, the bullies are painted as, like, mean, or, like, you know, if the movie wants you to feel sympathetic for the bully, then they'll give you some really easy explanation as to, like, oh, this person was abused as a child, and that's, like, why they're the bully. And what I like about this is just how mundane the bullying is and how ordinary these kids are.
Yeah, it distances us and makes you realize that, like, especially because, like, they keep revealing small things, like small transgressions these kids did, and then eventually build to the big transgressions. Like, posting that video, making that video were shitty things to do. But I just realized that was, like, sort of a wordplay that I didn't intend. It doesn't matter. Moving on. But they were terrible things to do. But, like, the more, like, you know, but little things, like, that they all started texting this girl from anonymous accounts and saying, kill yourself. And, like, you might think that that seems so benign because, like, oh, who listens to that or whatever? It's just the internet. Like, I didn't mean it. And that's what they keep saying. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean anything.
Yeah,
and I believe that.
At one point, she's like, why did you do it? And they're like, she was just like, I mean, everyone was doing it. We were just joining in. Like, you get the feeling that it wasn't like these kids were like, oh, let's sitting around being like, let's make this girl's life hell. It was just like, oh, let's just like,
and that's what's so
it also sends a nice message about, you know, computers and the internet make everything forever. I mean, you put things out there, they're going to come back to
get
you.
Well, and also the fact of, like, you know, just because you're able to disassociate yourself from it because it's not really your name and you're just doing it on the internet and the internet's not real. Like, it is real. You know, the way that people behave online impacts their lives. And, like, I like the way that this movie did this in a way that I hope resonates with people. Because, you know, I mean, we all work online all day, so I feel like we have a really good understanding of how the internet can be, can giveth and can taketh away. But I really liked the idea of, like, you might think that saying something shitty to somebody online isn't a big deal. I mean, they don't know who you are and whatever, but, like, you know, it can have an impact.
So does this mean the sequel to Unfriended will be movie bloggers, like, getting revenge on internet trolls?
Oh, my God.
I'd watch that movie.
I don't want to watch that movie. It sounds like a terrible movie. Two thumbs down.
It wouldn't, yeah. No, it would be so bad. It would just be like a blogger crying and then, like, what? Getting, like, evil powers?
The Star Wars trailer's great. No, it's terrible. I will kill you.
Yeah.
I'm going to write this. Not
every
really.
Comment section ever. Pretty All right, much. So in sum, watch?
Fantastic. Yeah. Go watch this and watch it again and again. It's definitely a movie that's got that rewatchable quality too, where I can guarantee you're going to pick up on these little teeny hints along the way. And just fun fact, do you guys know how this movie was shot? Because it's pretty incredible. They built this whole camera system all on their own, and all the actors went into their own individual rooms in the set. And then each one had a laptop with a GoPro mounted to it, and they were hardwired together. So they were on, like, a real Skype call, just without poor internet issues. And it's something, I'm writing about it for Collider on Monday, and it's something that the cinematographer and the digital imaging technician developed themselves. So they, like, made a camera system for this movie. So
we'll put a link to that.
All the rooms were sets built for the movie, too?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive because the set decoration makes it look like they look like real houses.
They shot, obviously the whole movie isn't one single take, but they were recording the movie in one take, and then they connected it together with the best takes, I guess.
Wow, we should wrap this up, but that's really cool. I am not as enthusiastic as Parasis. I think it's good, but I just kind of want to measure expectations. I think it's really fun. I think seeing it in theaters with your friends is a good idea. Yeah, I'm in favor.
What Christy said.
All right. Okay, so we'll move on to games. The game from last week was we wanted to play Fuck, Marry, Kill with Oscar Isaac characters. They were from Inside Llewyn Davis, Sucker Punch, and Ex Machina. And our winner for our last week's contest was Toria Grace, or at Pixie R Dust, or Dust. She has multiple use. She says blue because it's a one-time thing.
She says fuck blue.
Blue because it's a one-time thing. Kill Nathan because he's too obsessed with robots. Agreed. And marry Llewyn because he's soulful. She gets me. fuck blue.
I like that one because I was like, surely no one's going to choose fuck blue, but apparently someone would.
Yeah, it was unexpected.
That mustache works for some people, I guess. So thank you, Toria. We appreciate your shouting out to us. This week's contest is based on the other big trailer that hit, which I'm going to have to read this carefully because I can't ever say this title right. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Here's
a still from the trailer, and we would like you to give a caption to this still. And our favorite we will give a shout out to on next week's show. Tweet us at Popcorn Prosecco.
For the record, that trailer?
Yeah, I'm not. The thing that made me excited about that trailer was I was like, is that Holly Hunter? I hear Holly Hunter's voice. Holly Hunter's in this movie? Like, that was my response.
I feel kind of like, because that came out the day after the Star Wars trailer, and I was just like, that's not an act I would want to follow.
Yeah, all right, really.
But didn't they have to because it got leaked and they were like, real one.
Yeah.
Correct.
I screen grabbed the whole thing 10 times. Some of the imagery is a little cool, but overall, that's a really freaking dark, dull, boring trail. And it, like, dark, like, visually. Like, half my screen grabs, you can't even see anything. I would have to wait for the lightning to hit, and then I'd have to screen grab that so you could actually see everything.
I just don't understand. Like, superheroes are inherently silly. That doesn't mean I don't like them. That doesn't mean they can't have incredible, interesting, rich stories. But they're dudes wearing, like, panties on top or bat ears. It's silly. Let's have some fun with it. Why do we have to act like it's all like Spencer from Coming Soon, right? He tweeted like a gif and it was just like, I'm an adult. And it was like, yeah, that's how these all feel.
All right. On that note, that is a wrap on episode 62 of Popcorn and Prosecco. Thank you guys so much for watching. You can catch us all over the place. PopcornProsecco.com on iTunes, where it would be great if you could like, rate, and comment. And then we also have our Twitter account where you could play the games, at Popcorn Prosecco, like us on Facebook, and then all three of us are all over the internet as well. Christy, you want to take it first?
Sure. I write all over the internet, but you can find me at Christy Puchko, and I am on I'm on Twitter. I said that. Sorry. And I have a personal blog where I keep the highlights of what I'm doing. So you can go to decadentcriminals.com and check that out.
Angie, don't screw it up.
You made me so nervous, but I think I could get through this. I'm on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com. Take that, Christy.
Nailed it. And I am on Twitter at PNemiroff, and I write for collider.com. Just like schmitzing a little there. All right, so that's it for this week. We'll see you next time.
I write for internets.
Chewie, we're home.